Advertisers make like Eagles or Chiefs. They're teaming up for their ads on Sunday. I'm David Brancaccio. First, the other side of professional football. Ahead of the Super Bowl on Sunday, some former NFL players have filed a lawsuit accusing the league of routinely denying disability claims. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
The lawsuit was filed by 10 former players. They say the NFL's disability board doesn't hire neutral doctors to assess players' injuries, instead using doctors who have an interest in denying benefits and rewarding those who deny claims. The lawsuit seeks penalties against the NFL's disability plan and its board members, and it asks for players who were denied benefits to be reassessed and made whole. The NFL says its disability plan meets eligibility requirements agreed to by the NFL Players Association and is fair and administered by a professional staff overseen by the board. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell says the disability plan is a defined benefit and some players won't qualify. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
That roar you'll hear Sunday afternoon is partly the roar of selling. The game is a rare couple hours when perhaps 100 million people watch all at once and advertisers have paid big for all this attention. Now, the staff at Ad Age tracks this carefully, and the publication's editor, Janine Poggi, has reconnected here for a preview. Hi, Janine.
Hey, David.
What's this about some brands teaming up? You may see several of them in a single ad?
Yeah, this is really interesting. And we're started to see a couple of these this year where brands are actually like working together around their Super Bowl campaigns. So you have Netflix, who is working with Michelob Ultra on one hand, doing an ad promoting one of their golf shows that's coming out. And then Netflix is also working with General Motors to promote efforts around electric vehicles. So Netflix is a big one, sort of working with a couple of others to go out there and buddy up on some Super Bowl campaigns. It's about driving scale. You know, the more the merrier here, and that the more brands are together, the more promotion they can give on social media and sort of build that scale, which when you're paying anywhere from, you know, $6.5-$7 million for a 30-second commercial, you want as much scale as you can get.
Now, your outfit, Ad Age, tracks with some precision diversity as reflected in these Super Bowl ads. Do you have anything you can say at this stage?
Yeah, so we do every year, this is our third year doing it, for every brand that's airing a national spot in the game, we send a list of questions around their diversity equity efforts. There does not seem to be as much of transparency around efforts, specifically around talking about diversity in the Black community. You know, another area that I think will be interesting to watch is around representation around disabled people and accessibility. So ads that have captions in it that go beyond the typical closed captioning and being more accessible to that community. For all of this, I think, you know, it's important to say that like efforts are still very early and there, no one is, you know, right there doing like an amazing job. But we are starting to hear some changes as it relates to at least, you know, accessibility in Super Bowl commercials.
Do you remember the dust-up the other day involving M&Ms? They changed the M&M character. Yet, M&Ms had a whole other strategy ready to rock. Maya Rudolph from SNL, the new, you know, front person for all this. Should I take that story at face value?
This was really an interesting one. You know, I think whenever you talk about the Super Bowl, you have to go in with the mindset of like, something is a stunt, right? Like brands, they're spending a lot of money. As I said, you know, they want the most promotion, the most noise and buzz around their commercial leading up to the game. So through that lens, you should always have an air of skepticism going into some of this. You remember Mr. Peanut? When Planters killed off Mr. Peanut, only for him to be reborn at the Super Bowl. So there's always something up their sleeve.
All right, Janine Poggi, she's editor at Ad Age. Always good to talk to you.
Same here. Thanks so much.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Checking the market screens, S&P futures are down 0.6%. NASDAQ futures are down 1.1%. Crude oil is up more than 2% in New York now, $79.67 a barrel. This week, Nintendo announced that its forthcoming game, Tears of the Kingdom, part of the Legend of Zelda series, will retail for $70. That's $10 more than the standard price that video game companies have stuck to for over a decade. Now, beyond Nintendo, Xbox and PlayStation titles are getting more expensive, too. Marketplace's Justin Ho has more on game inflation.
Ever since video game titles started retailing for $60 around 2006, the cost of video game production has risen, says Neil Macker, an analyst at Morningstar.
Not only just due to complexity, but you know, increased salaries for programmers and creatives in general, as tech companies and Hollywood and video game companies are fighting for a lot of the same talent.
Those costs are also lingering far beyond the game's initial release, since a lot of newer games have a longer lifespan. Joost van Drena at NYU says that requires more maintenance and customer support.
And that then makes a lot of sense to say, hey, you know, if we're going to be doing this, then we also need to be charging more for it.
But van Drena says companies have covered a lot of those costs through in-game transactions, like downloadable content and custom cosmetics, by upping price tags to $70.
It is largely, I would say, a move by platforms and publishers to just capture more market value.
In other words, companies can charge $70 now because they know people will pay it. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
And Yahoo says it's going to cut 20% of its workforce, perhaps 2,000 people by the end of this year, including 1,000 people this week, as part of an overhaul of its advertising division. Our digital producer is Jarrett Dang. Our engineers are Jessen Dueler and Nick Esposito. David Brancaccio, it's the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.